bread permeates our language the way it permeates life. It's all around us in how we think. Can you do it? Piece of cake. Do you mind helping me? Oh, you know who butters your bread. How are you doing? What do you really think about it? I think it's the greatest thing since sliced bread. In fact, it's selling like hotcakes. How's it really selling? Sales are flatter than a pancake. What does that mean? I don't know. But if I don't come up with the dough before the time the rent's due, I'm toast. It's all around us. So why that review? It's because it's all around us, and because the language of bread and the image of bread and the fact of bread so permeates our lives, it's easy to let this part of the Lord's Prayer go like it was some kind of stale bread and move on forward, because the important parts we might think are later. But when Jesus was teaching us how to pray, he put at the very center of that prayer daily bread. And he did that to help us see our own dependence on God and to see that God is inviting us to partner with him in his redemption of the whole world. So we're walking together through the Lord's Prayer. These aren't words that we offer by rote mindlessly back to God. They're concepts. They're places we stop and that we tend constantly so that we can see what God has given to us and what he wants from us. We're in Matthew chapter 6. The Lord's Prayer begins in verse 9, and we're going to go to verse 11 today. If you have a copy of the scripture, would you open it there? Matthew chapter 6, and beginning in verse 9. There the scripture says, "When you pray, pray then this way: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread." This is the word of the Lord. Now, you might think that we ought to focus on the daily part of daily bread. I mean, has there ever been a year as chaotic as this year? Have we ever been through a season that more often reminded us of our daily need of God? If you wrote a list on January 1st of the things you thought you would do this year or experience this year, or the things you hoped would happen this year, has this year looked anything like that? This has been that year that reminds us, I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. And this has been the year that calls us back to pray that hymn that Carrie just sang with us. I need thee every hour, most precious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. It might seem that the thing we need to do is to tend the daily part of daily bread. But I think we will more surely get to that daily provision and sense of peace if we tend the bread side. And to do that, I want to use a phrase that Augustine of Hippo, the 4th century bishop and saint of the church, used. Saint Augustine said, "Without God, we cannot. Without us, God will not." I want to use that two-sided maxim as a way of understanding what it is we're praying when we pray for daily bread. First, without God, we cannot. When we ask God for daily bread, we're recognizing that God has something that we need and that we cannot supply for ourselves. And that recognition is the first step toward the humility that's essential to our faithfulness. When we eat, we're recognizing that in order to live, we depend physically on something that's outside of ourselves. When we pray, we are recognizing that in every way we depend on one who is not us, who is outside of ourselves. We are calling and asking God to give us what we do not have. When we ask God to give us daily bread, we're confessing our need of God. And at the same time, we're confessing that God already knows our needs, knows even our deepest secrets. Which begs a question. When I say that God knows our needs, knows our wants, knows our deepest secrets, does that in your brain first register as a promise or as a threat? If it's a threat, then what we tend to do is spiritualize this part of the Lord's Prayer. We tend to think that God's going to meet our daily spiritual needs. But what we're doing when we do that is moving God away from our lived needs and our actual experience. It's keeping God out of our real lives, as if something inside of us says God's so consumed with the great big spiritual things that he doesn't have time to worry about what's in my belly or how my job is or what's going on inside my home. I mean, after all, didn't God say, but do not worry? Didn't Jesus say, do not worry after what you will eat or what you shall drink or what you shall wear? For the pagans chase after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Of course he said those things. But he also said, and all these things will be added unto you as well. And he didn't teach lessons about eternal life without failing to care for this life. As he was teaching 5,000 families on a hillside about eternal truth, he noticed the sun was setting. And he said to his disciples, somebody needs to feed these people. If we think God knowing us so well is a threat, we tend to spiritualize his promises and hold him at a distance. But if we understand that God knowing our needs is a promise, then we come to see that our needs aren't evil. They're just needs. And until we have bread in our bellies, we can't really truly hear about the bread of life. Helmut Thielicke was a religious scholar in the last century, and he wrote about German elitism before World War II. He said, if you had asked me before the war, which is more important, a loaf of bread or a book of poetry, I would have cast the bread aside and said, I'm a man and not an animal. Instead of the wiser, each is important in its own way. Thielicke said, during the course of the war, when the bombs were falling on the city where he was, he found himself making his way into a shelter and often faced with that very choice. Do I take a loaf of bread? Or do I take a book of poetry? Thielicke said, the bread won every time. God knows our needs and our desires and our wants, and he asks us to turn those toward him in prayer. Sinful desires require confession and repentance. Needs require petition for provision, because God has what we do not have and offers to supply it for us. One of the great Baptist pastors of the 20th century was Carlisle Marney, and he was translating Psalm 37:4. Your English translation reads, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Marney translated that, delight yourself in the Lord and he will fix your wanter. Marney said, when we sort our interior lives before God in prayer, when we offer God our whole hearts and not just the pretty parts, he begins to show us what to want. He begins to teach us to want the things that are right for us. God helps us sort our wants from our needs, from our sinful urges, and that sorting is the first step on the pathway to peace. When we pray for daily bread, we're not asking God to take away our desires, and we're not pretending like we don't have needs. We're asking God to set our wants and our needs and our desires aright, to order them aright, to meet them in his time and in his way, recognizing God has what we do not have and offers to give us what we need. And since our hunger for God is our deepest need, we're asking God to first give us of his very presence, knowing that without God, we cannot. And as Augustine said, without us, God will not. To pray for daily bread is to pray for God to allow us to be a part of his kingdom, all the while remembering that we in ourselves cannot bring that kingdom. When we lived in Mississippi, I knew a fellow who kept a spectacular, beautiful vegetable garden, straight furrows, green plants, vivid food grew in that garden. And I was walking with one of our deacons down the street one day, and the deacon was a friend of the gardener, and the deacon said, "Man, what a beautiful garden you and the Lord are putting together." And the gardener quipped back, "You should have seen this field when the Lord had it to himself." And my deacon quipped back, "You ought to try to plant that garden sometime without soil or seed, or grow it without sun or rain." We're dependent on God. And God is inviting us to be a part of the creation. Bread is not just food. The rabbi said, look, God could have made plants, the fruit of which was loaves of bread ready to eat. But in grace, he made wheat so that we could participate and have meaning in our own lives. If you think about it, bread is the product of a divine and human collaboration. There is food that requires no agency on our part. Fruits and vegetables just grow. Meat is just animals. But bread requires both God and people to be a part of it. God made a world that makes wheat, but it has to be harvested and threshed and crushed and mixed and baked in order for there to be bread. Bread is a visible sign that God is inviting us to participate in redeeming the whole world. God's plan A for the world is to cooperate the creation in a partnership with faithful and obedient men and women. And there is no plan B. So God calls us to put our energy into the mix in new and creative and wonderful ways. God invites us to work in the world, to work with the world, to work for the world. And God's given us real freedom and power to do that, which means we have freedom and power to work with God and toward his desire for the creation. And we have freedom and power, which means we can choose to work against what God is doing. We can work in God's world, in God's way, or we can work in God's world, in our way. To pray for daily bread is to recognize that God has given us real responsibility. We have a role to play, and how today will be. You are not responsible for what happened before you got here. And you are responsible for what you do with your gifts and your time and your talent and your energy. You are responsible for what you leave for others to find after you. To pray for daily bread is to ask God to help us make wise and discerning and constructive decisions about our time. So how do we best understand this petition for daily bread? In the Lord's Supper. At this table, where bread and wine become the love of God. At this table, where the highest form of our prayer is asking God to make us his first answer to our own prayer. At this table, where we remember that Jesus' own body was broken for us, which means our brokenness is not a disqualifier for partnership with God. Our brokenness is the condition for our partnership with God. And God promises to meet us where we are, use us as we are, and mend us through his love. So we remember what Augustine said. Without God, we cannot. Without us, God will not. And so, because we know we are dependent on God every day for what we do not have, but he does have, because we know that God is inviting us out of an abundance of his love to partner with him in redeeming the whole world, we follow in obedience as Christ our Savior has taught us. We are bold to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.